The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When a large crowd gathered, with people from one town and another, journeying to Jesus, he spoke to them a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the path and was trampled, and the birds of the sky ate it up. Some seed fell on rocky ground, and when it grew, it withered for lack of moisture. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew with it and choked it. And some seed fell on the good soil, and when it grew, it produced fruit 100-fold. After saying this, Jesus called out, "Whoever has ears to hear ought to hear." Then his disciples asked him what the meaning of this parable might be. He answered, "Knowledge of the mysteries of God has been granted to you, but to the rest they are made known through parables, so that they may look but not see, and hear but not understand. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those on the path are the ones who have heard, but the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, that they may not believe and be saved. Those on rocky ground are the ones who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, but they have no root. They believe only for a time, and they fall away in time of temptation. As for the seed that fell among thorns, they are the ones who have heard. But as they go along, they're choked by the anxieties and riches and pleasures of life, and they fail to produce mature fruit. But as for the seed that fell on rich soil, they are the ones who, when they've heard the word, embrace it with a generous and good heart and bear fruit through perseverance." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today's readings are all about sowing seed. And there are various truths contained here and various applications to us. In the Gospel, Jesus describes first how he seeks to sow the seed of his word in us. But that we've got to be receptive. We pondered twice with the help of St. Matthew this summer this parable. I'll just quickly review it. Jesus wants us to take a soil sample of our heart. As he sows his word, he meets many of us who are stubborn and hardened, not because we're necessarily evil, but because many times we're just not hanging on every word that falls from God's mouth. We're not listening so that it'll change us. We've heard it before. It doesn't make much of a difference in the life of most other people, so why is the expectation that it's going to really make a massive change in my life? So we're hardened to it. It basically bounces off. We can't even recall what we heard hours later, not to mention the next day. No way we bear fruit that way. Second type of soil is the superficial soil. Ooh, I really liked that gospel. But there's no real root. We don't work to nourish it from below. We don't work to help it to produce fruit. And so whenever trial or tribulation comes, whenever something happens in our life that we seem to think contradicts that word, it just dies. Third is a very common type of soil, thorny soil. God plants his seed, it would be good enough soil, but there are worldly anxieties there. There are lure of riches, pleasures of life. And it fails to produce mature fruit. The good soil, Jesus describes, are those who first hear the word. Don't just listen to it. Hear it. Grasp it. And then it falls from their ears to their heart, and they embrace it with a generous and good heart. And they bear fruit, not immediately. They bear fruit with perseverance. They bear fruit because they receive the seed and they say, "Every day for the rest of my life, I'm going to battle to live this. I'm not just going to remember it for the next hour. I'm going to try to remember this and act on it for the rest of my life. That's how we bear mature fruit. Is that what our soil sample is? Are we listening so that these words today are really going to change our life forever? Are we going to persevere in walking in the presence of the Lord in the light of this living word? It's the first type of sowing Jesus wants us to ponder today. Second type is more intense. Jesus doesn't just sow his words. He sows himself as the word made flesh. St. John's Gospel, he describes that unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it bears no fruit. But if it dies, then it will bear abundant fruit. And Jesus is that grain of wheat who fell to the ground thrice on the way to Calvary. And then on Calvary actually died. And he wants that sowing of himself to bear incredible fruit. It's here at Mass that we receive within that seed. We receive Jesus Christ. We come into communion with Christ. Now let's be honest. How many ways is your life different from Jesus' life? 100? 500? 1,000? At least that many. Small little ways. When we enter into communion with the Word of God, God wants perseveringly to lead us on that exodus so that our entire life is aligned with Him. But we've got to persevere in that communion to recognize that Jesus doesn't just want us to be good people. He just wants us to be Him in the middle of the world. And that's the power of Holy Communion, when we receive it with a good and generous heart. And we persevere in that Holy Communion. Once that begins to happen, then the same thing that happens sowing in a field occurs in us. Jesus sows His word in us, and it starts as a little seed, but then that seed grows. And eventually it grows into a big tree. And like with any tree, it starts to bear fruit. And that fruit contains within seeds that can be planted in others. That's what's supposed to happen with the Word of God. That eventually His Word becomes our own words. We start speaking more and more like Jesus speaks. And oftentimes using His literal words. But then also Jesus Himself, as that grain of wheat, is meant to grow within us, so that we're able to sow Christ in others, together with Him, bearing fruit and acts of love that we're going to remind people of the source of that love that has already been sown in us. That's what's supposed to occur with this persevering growth. That ultimately is the mature fruit. One of the consequences of that St. Paul talks about in today's first reading. He's talking about how we are to die. And when St. Paul talks about death, he's not just talking at the end when we croak. He's talking about the way that we die to ourselves right now. Because death isn't supposed to be something that just happens to us. As he said in the Good Shepherd Discourse, "No one takes my life from me. I freely lay it down." We're called every day to die to ourselves so that we might walk in the presence of the Lord in the light of the living, so that we might become truly alive. And when we start to do that, we grasp that everything we sow here is going to be reaped. The Corinthians had lots of questions about the resurrection of the flesh, and lots of curious questions about what the risen body would be like, if there'll be a risen body. St. Paul says it's going to be the fruit of the seed we sow here in this world. He said, "What you sow is not brought to life unless it dies. What you sow is not the body that is to be but a bare kernel. You're sowing the seed, and what are you going to reap? What's sown is corruptible. What's raised is incorruptible. Sown is dishonorable, unpresentable at times. That's why we cover certain body parts. That's what he means. Raised, glorious. Sown weak, raised powerful, so natural, raised spiritual, that we sow the seed of a dying body, but we're going to reap the true fruit of what we've sown. One of the most important lessons we need to grasp about this is when Jesus was raised from the dead, He bore what He had sown. All His acts of love shown in those five sets of lips, as the mystic said, each of which proclaiming, I love you, those five wounds. He bore them because that's exactly the love that he sowed. And we're going to bear likewise what we sow. So we've got to be sowing ourselves together with the Lord in order to reap that incorruptible, glorious, powerful, spiritual, mature tree. Again, this isn't something that's supposed to merely happen to us. This is something that we're going to freely cooperate with. Today we celebrate the feast of the Korean martyrs, St. Andrew Kim Taegon and their companions. You know, the whole story of the growth of the faith in Korea is one of the most fabulous stories in the history of the proclamation of the gospel. The Koreans remain incredibly xenophobic. And for centuries, they didn't allow any foreigners into their country because they wanted to keep their race pure. So no missionaries could get in. It was totally illegal for anybody to come into that country. But there were some educated Koreans in the late 1700s who happened to get from China some Christian literature passed through by a Jesuit priest who was a missionary in China. And these lay people, what did they start to do? They started to study their fannies off because they were really hungry for the truth. They knew that God had given them their brains, and the best way that they could use their brains was to allow Him to sow His seed. Then they started to bear great fruit. Eventually, after 56 years, the first priest set his feet in Korea. He was anticipating that he was going to have to start by making his first convert. Instead, he found a community of 4,000 Christians, all lay people. They were baptizing. They had no other sacraments besides it. But they were really living the faith there. It started to grow. There were 6 brutal persecutions. 1791, first wave. Didn't scare them. 1801, second wave. Still didn't scare or intimidate the people out. Third wave, 1827. Fourth wave, 1839, in which St. Andrew's father, who was a convert, was murdered. 7 years later, his son, who was the first Korean priest, St. Andrew Kim Taegon, who had to work so hard in order to study outside of the country, walking over 1,300 miles to the seminary. Think about that. Last wave, 1866. Over 10,000 Korean martyrs. And St. Andrew, in his letter from jail as he was preparing to die, again, the first Korean priest, writing in Korean to all the other Christians to strengthen, picked up this image of sowing. He said, "We need to prove ourselves to be Christians, not just in name, but in fact. Look at the farmer who cultivates his rice fields. In season, he plows, he fertilizes the earth, never counting the cost. He labors under the sun to nurture the seed he has planted. When harvest time comes and the rice crop is abundant, forgetting his labor and his sweat, he rejoices with an exultant heart." The hard work of a farmer, we're supposed to work that hard in allowing the seed to grow in us and in sowing it in others. St. Andrew continues, "The Lord is like a farmer, and we are the field of rice that He fertilizes with His grace, and by the mystery of the incarnation and the redemption, irrigates with His blood, in order that we will grow and reach maturity. When harvest time comes, the day of judgment, those who have grown to maturity in the grace of God will find the joy of adopted children in the kingdom of heaven. Dear brothers and sisters, when he was in the world, the Lord Jesus bore countless sorrows and by his own passion and death founded the church. He was that grain of wheat. Now he gives it increase through the sufferings of his faithful. This is the way he irrigates that seed. He helps it to grow. He allows us to suffer so that our faith may grow. Because that suffering's a test, and when we pass that test, our faith grows by leaps and bounds. No matter how fiercely he goes on, the powers of the world oppress and oppose the church. They'll never bring it down. Ever since his ascension from the time of the apostles to the present, the Lord Jesus has made his church grow even in the midst of tribulation. Then he describes how over the course of the last 50 years in Korea, the faithful has suffered persecution over and over again. He said persecution still rages. And as a result, many who are friends of the household of faith, myself among them, have been thrown in prison. And like you are experiencing severe distress. But we have become the one body. Should not our hearts be grieved for the members of those who are suffering? Because of the human ties that bind us, should we not deeply feel the pain of separation? But, as the scriptures say, God numbers the very hairs on our head. And in his all-embracing providence, he has care over us all. Persecution, therefore, can only be regarded as the command of the Lord, or as a prize he gives, or as a punishment he permits. Hold fast, then, to the will of God. And with all your heart, fight the good fight under the leadership of Jesus. That was his last word and testament. That the Lord sows, and that he irrigates with his blood, and that he continues to give extra increase. In the opening prayer of the Mass today, I know you were really praying it, so you remembered what we said. We turned to the Lord and we said, you who made the blood of the martyr, St. Andrew Kim Taigo and his companions, a most fruitful seed of Christians, grant that we may be defended by their help and profit always from their example. We're supposed to bear dividends by their example of heroic faith. We may not have to suffer in brutal persecutions, but our faith is supposed to grow like theirs. This was Pope Francis' message a month ago when he went to Korea in order to lift to the altars another 123 of these 10,000 Korean martyrs. After tracing the whole heroic history of the faith in Korea, he said, soon after the first seeds of faith were planted in this land, again the agricultural image, the martyrs in the Christian community had to choose between following Jesus or following the world. They had heard the Lord's warning that the Lord would hate them because of him. They knew the cost of discipleship. For many, this meant persecution and later flight to the mountains where they formed Catholic villages. They were willing to make great sacrifices and let themselves be stripped of whatever kept them from Christ, possession and land, prestige and honor, for they knew that Christ alone was their true treasure. Since so often we today can find our faith challenged by the world, and in countless ways we're asked to compromise our faith, to water down the radical demands of the gospel and to conform to the spirit of the age. Yet the martyrs, remember our opening prayer, may we profit always from their example. Yet the martyrs call out to us to put Christ first and to see everything else in the world in relation to him and his eternal kingdom. They challenge us to think about what, if anything, we ourselves would be willing to die for. Mm-hmm. Are we willing to sow our life with Christ today fully? That's the ever-present question. Today Jesus has sown his word. He's about to sow himself. He wants to bear eternal fruit in us, like he did in St. Andrew Kim, Taigon, and companions. The only thing that will prevent it is if we don't till that soil of all the stubbornness and lack of willingness to change, of all the rocks that prevent the growth, of all the thorns, worldly cares and anxieties that don't allow us to produce that mature fruit. The Lord wants to help us to do that tilling. Let us be as cooperative as St. Andrew and his companions, and in a particular way, as Catholic lay people. Please never forget that the Lord calls you to heroism. Praise be Jesus Christ. Now and forever.